恐竜編。
This is the first episode of Mind Duck Games, one of our spin-off podcasts. Welcome, Chen.
Hi.
Thanks for joining me. Nobody else agreed on doing this.
Did I?
Yes, you did.
Oh, okay.
These other episodes outside of the Mind Duck Japan podcast should solve a few problems. So first problem with my podcast, it's too long.
Mm-hmm.
I speak too fast and I over-explain.
Mm-hmm.
So this should be more relaxed, no cuts, more simple, and only two parts. So it's gonna be no spoilers and spoilers.
Okay.
And Chen has five red cards. Why five, you ask? It's because it's my podcast and I can't deal with two yellow cards. So I have to have five red cards.
What does this mean?
Every time I speak too fast, over-explain, or do any of my usual bullshit,
mm-hmm.
you give me red cards.
Okay.
So I unlearn and try to be a more relaxed guest and take this easy.
You're a host.
Host. Already. Card number one.
Relaxing too much.
So on these Mind Duck Games episodes, mm-hmm. we'd like to get into games that are, in our eyes, amazing. And
really?
Yes.
Really though?
And by that I mean they made a huge impression. Whichever what kind of impression that was, that's up to you to decide. But we'd like to choose games that are not talked about that much.
Mm-hmm.
And also we'd like to talk about any games throughout the ages. There is nothing current about this show. So you can listen to it anytime you want. So to start, we have recently finished Fahrenheit Indigo Prophecy.
You want to say that again?
Fahrenheit Indigo Prophecy.
Yeah, just so people can hear this title that makes no sense.
So I'd like to give you some actual information that's hopefully going to be short. Danger of getting the first red card. So this game... This game is made by David Cage. Have you ever heard of him before?
No.
He's one of those French guys. Mm. How do you feel about French guys, Jen? What do you imagine if you say he's French?
I just think he's a bastard.
And you would be right. I think you'd also imagine he's very pretentious, probably.
Yeah, well, it depends. Is he from France or is he from Quebec?
He's from France.
He's just a bastard. He's not a pretentious bastard. He's just a bastard.
He's a very controversial character, especially recently. Some people call him a golden god of gaming, genius. Some people call him a pervert. And other people call him just a boring-ass game developer. He's got very idealistic views about game making. He wants mm-hmm. to make games that are accessible for people who cannot play games or don't play games or don't think games are for adults. So he makes games that are using game mechanics that anybody can use.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that happened in this game?
I mean, yeah, there were... I mean, it's very simple controls and those things. That's not the problem.
So, I wanted to quickly mention all the games he made. That's not that many. He started with Omicron, which is a very old game with David Bowie. He always has famous people in the games, and he always gets lots of actors.
The hell was in Fahrenheit?
Yeah, that's a good question. A bunch of actors. But we'll get to that.
Okay.
So, Omicron... it's another one of those like super high concept, pretentious, like very clever ideas that you control a character in the game
mm-hmm.
using a PC terminal to go into another dimension where you control the character. So you like embody a character using a game in the game to control the character in another world, which mm-hmm. is supposed to be like real when you're playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, so that's like the thing. Second game was Fahrenheit, which we'll get into. Then he made Heavy Rain, which was the biggest thing ever.
Heavy Rain was good.
That's the only normal game. The detective story, and you can play it like a movie. Highly recommend it. Amazing graphics for the time.
Mm-hmm.
He went on to do Beyond Two Souls, which is like a ghost story. This is where the controversy started, because one of the actresses, now actors, Ellen Page, now Elliot Page, she got a bunch of like harassment during the filmmaking or game making, and they made there's always like naked people in these games. There's always sex scenes and shower scenes, and they scanned her whole body or his whole body, and they put it in the game without consent, which was a big controversy, and everybody got sued, and they dug up some bad stuff about his studio.
So he's a bastard. And he's like a bastard,
yes.
Yeah.
So that's a question: if you separate the masterpiece, so to speak, from the master, or if you should just throw this away because he's a bastard.
Well, I can appreciate anyone's talent or cognitive ability, but that doesn't mean I have to appreciate their personality. Mm. So I can separate the two, but, you know, he's still a bastard.
Yeah, so the last game he made was Detroit Become Human, which is a very, very well made, highly, like, concept-wise, and then super on the nose, actually story-wise. It's like, racism is bad, yes, and robots are being discriminated, and that's the game. Yeah, so that's his portfolio. Recently, there's been so many lawsuits surrounding his studio and him that he completely separated himself from Sony, who...
Okay, let's not go on a tangent.
Okay, red card, two.
So, this is the basics of some of the games this guy made.
So, in Fahrenheit, he said that the reason to make this game was to go against the stereotype that all games have killing in them and too much shooting. And it's focused on teenagers and shooting. That's the main purpose he keeps saying that he makes these games. And he should satisfy like ex-gamers or non-gamers. How would you say that was successful with Fahrenheit?
I mean, there was a lot of death. there wasn't really shooting. I actually don't remember shooting. I remember seeing guns, like because police, but I don't really remember shooting. That's true. And yeah, there weren't any teens at all, but I never thought that games overused teens. I don't remember seeing teens.
Not overused teens, but the games are for teens only.
Oh, I get it.
So do you think this is a teen game? Or?
I think there's still some teen... Like, okay, it's got its boring adult overtones in that, you know, it's a little more mature. But it's definitely got its... You definitely went for the teen audience because, like, everyone has, like, huge boobs or, like, sexy outfits or, like, you know, he didn't cut out that stuff. So yeah. I think teens might still go with it.
Yeah. But it's more of an adult thing. It's less about the shoot all the guys. It's more about the story.
Yeah.
Story is the only focus.
No instant gratification for sure in this game.
That's a good point.
So, yeah.
So this game was made in 2005 and...
In 2005 it looked like that?
Yeah.
That's not that good.
But it looked great at the time. Like
games... I've seen better in 2005.
Okay.
So. I thought it was 1999.
Thankfully, it has been remastered into HD in 2020. That's why we played it. And it was actually a happy accident. That's not why we played it. So I showed some pictures to one of my friends, Martin, who's on the podcast sometimes. And he said it looks like vomit. So apparently a remastered version doesn't impress. To me, I thought it would look so much worse. Because I know this game existed. I always kind of wanted to play it, but I never played it. And I think I made a very, very good choice of playing it. So...
Yeah.
When he designed this game, he wrote a 2,000-page design document, and he hired 80 employees plus 60 actors and stuntmen. So that's already amazing.
So he had a great budget and shit graphics.
Okay. He spent it on the motion capturing. Did you feel like it was real people doing the acting in the game?
Some of the parts... Yes, and some of the other parts, I was very surprised to find out that it was real people. I thought it was very bad animators, so I I have to apologize to the animation world because I thought, wow, you guys suck. But those were real people doing some of that stuff. So,
yeah. There are moments in this game where we were like, this is insanely, ridiculously unrealistic.
Yep.
And then when we beat the game, there is a behind the scenes video where they showed how they filmed it and they were actually real actors doing it. Yeah. It's amazing.
And it looked ridiculous with them doing it. It still looked like this can't be real.
So it's not the animators or the animation, it's the actors and David Cage's perfect direction.
Actually, the animators were on point. They did it, it was exact.
So in this game, you play different characters and you switch perspective as I think maybe 5-6 characters.
But you play like 3 of them.
Is it?
Yeah, I thought there were more. Yeah, you play through 3.
Oh, sorry. So only 3 characters. Felt like more.
Wow.
And it's a detective story. And the funniest thing about this movie, this game, which seems to be like a movie, which by the way, the tutorial is David Cage pretending to be a movie director and directing you to play the game to make a movie, which is already genius.
Yeah.
So in this game, you play scenes of like a movie and immediately what occurs to you is that you're playing against yourself, like both the bad guys and the good guys, or the criminal and the police, and you're catching yourself, which is very funny to try hiding evidence and then in the next scene playing the other character and finding the evidence where you hid it.
Yeah.
On the insane to genius level, where do you put this idea?
The idea? I mean, the idea is fun, because you'd have to... Well, let's see. I'd say the idea is genius if you give enough paths for maybe ending or something like that.
Mm.
Because if no matter what, let's say you're just like really sucking at, like, you're purposely trying to give yourself up and then you're like really good on the other side of trying to like catch yourself, whatever. No matter what it is that you do, like in this game, I think there's like 3 endings. So I don't think it's enough for the idea.
You can end the game by dying or something.
Okay, well that's true. But to make it more realistic of hitting, because in some of the scenes, like, if you sabotage yourself too much, you actually fail for that character versus just having a different kind of outcome for the game. It's just like some things are forced into failures or success.
Yeah. This is not very well done in this game. In the future games, like Beyond Two Souls and
Heavy Rain.
Heavy Rain also, he said that a fail state is not supposed to be in his games. So even if you keep failing, the story continues and you can like kill off most of the characters and just finish the story somehow. So that's not much here. You just fail the game and you have to replay it if you die.
But the idea is nice and it works in the other games, but not this one.
So the game mechanics are super simple. You walk around and you do these menial tasks, which is a staple of his games. And that's that you like swipe the stick on the controller up or down or left or around, like to put on clothes or brush your teeth or have sex, obviously. You wouldn't have guessed it, but there is a scene where you can like thrust with the joypad.
But we won't tell you how to get that scene. You don't always get to get to the scene. So we'll
tell you
gotta
spoilers.
Find it yourself.
Tell you in spoilers. And so that's one part of the game. You keep walking around, picking stuff up, investigating stuff. And then the main part, I would think, is something he said should stimulate like adrenaline, ecstatic feelings, like tension, stress. And how does that work?
I don't know, the characters have like a stress meter, and depending on what tasks you have them do, they become more or less like stressed. So some of these menial tasks are there so that you can de-stress, for instance, or
so
if
that's
you
just
do it too
the
much,
meter.
Yeah.
But I meant the actual controls when you get into the
action you
situation.
Yourself?
Yeah. So
like,
how do you control it?
Like, you're usually like hitting the, not the triggers, but just the right and like left buttons like really fast. And sometimes you're trying to keep a certain balance or a certain rhythm, like it's... your character's breathing or they're trying to hold on to something. So it just tires your freaking fingers out, so I just turn the controller and use my thumbs.
But Chen is trying to say that it's the most insane version of Simon Says I've ever seen in my life, because there is four.
Oh, you mean the up and down?
Four colors.
I was thinking balance.
That's the mix of that.
Okay, okay.
But the majority of this game, you're gonna be failing at or excelling at or being excited about, the most like overused game mechanic ever is an alternative to QuickTime events where you have to push certain buttons. So this one has two squares or two crosses, actually. It's up, down, left, right. And you have two of them. And you have two thumbs and you have to keep moving up and down and left. Mm-hmm. And it's like blinks, like blue, blue, left, right, top, down, blue, blue, left, right. Yeah. You keep doing it. And it'll be fine if you did it like five times. Mm. But you keep doing this.
It's the longest sequences. The longest.
No exaggeration. You keep doing this for like 20 minutes straight. And some of this, I would dare to say, works like in a very unexpected way. You actually like get into the action, even though the action is ridiculous. You feel like you're in there. You like don't have time to really watch it, so it looks better. And you keep like focusing so you wouldn't mess up. And it's the most intense action scenes I felt in any video game.
But like, I mean, I guess like because you're intently doing this like thing, so you're worked up not from what's going on, but you're worked up from having to do these Simon Says. So when you finally got a chance to stop, like every 20 minutes there's a break in the action scene, but the action scene's going to continue and you do it more, but you're watching it and they're doing something like crazy, like jumping over a car or like something, so you are like the blood's pumping at the moment.
That's the intention. That should get your blood going, and I think it does.
For the Simon Says, it should be that I feel like the D-pad and the, you know, other buttons should suddenly just function as your up and down, left, right, during these sequences. Because using the joystick, if you're even a little bit off of going up or down to, like, if you're a little bit diagonal, it says it's wrong, so it's really frustrating.
But you could
really
argue that's the fun of it, because it really makes you stressed. If it was actual accurate and actual easy, then it would be much less tense. And it's bullshit. It's high grade bullshit and pain. But if you're willing to go through it, I think it really heightens the excitement and it's just like.
But when you have like one life.
Yeah, then it's like, that was so intense. I think this is very successful as far as like intensity and getting immersed in a game is concerned. Absolutely amazing in my point of view. So that's basically all the game controls. Graphics look like vomit, we already covered that. And the story is the main focus, so if you're in for the story, if you're into like watch a B, C, D, E, F, G movie
it's a B movie, I guess.
So let me put it this way. If you're in for the goofiness, you're gonna have the time of your life. If you like goofy shit, if you like unintentionally goofy bad movies, this is the thing for you.
But just put it in easy mode.
I think it would actually detract from the experience. You can always switch it back if you want, but I think we did it on medium and it was like challenging, like you have to pay attention enough and you can fail sometimes. And I think it's balanced very well. It goes along with the goofiness and the intensity very well. I recommend just trying it. So before we flip the second part to spoilers, I wanted to say also camera is shit.
Yeah, the camera is the worst thing because they're trying to make it like a movie. Like, so you can have a camera that sort of follows your character, but you can like pull yourself away from the character. There's like a camera control for that, and it's just bullshit. Don't do it.
We played the game together after this one, and it was from 2021. Yeah. And I was like, this camera is amazing. How is this so easy to play?
Yeah. Because we've been working with this stupid camera for like ages, playing this other game that we forgot that, you know, cameras aren't shit. This game's camera is shit.
The scenes where you have to change the camera, it's okay. It's just trying to be cinematic. And when the action starts, the camera takes over and you don't have to control it. So that's fine. But it's infuriating. The camera is infuriating. So this game, you can beat it in about 8 hours. And I recommend, if you want to try it, play it with somebody. Don't play it alone.
Yeah.
And we did that. We passed the controller for each character. So that's a pretty good way to watch a movie. Just play it with somebody. And if you can laugh about it and love goofiness, you have to play this game. It's like €2 on Steam or $2.
Yes. It's really cheap.
So you can get it for nothing, basically. If we haven't persuaded you to play this, you can listen to the second part where we're gonna completely spoil the story because I have to talk about this. And if you don't wanna play this, or if you even do wanna play it and you still wanna listen to me like rant about it with Chen, I feel like it's maybe gonna just increase the enjoyment of the game anyway because you can't really spoil it that much.
You gotta see it for yourself.
And when I'm gonna talk about it, you're gonna imagine something. It's gonna be ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then if you actually play it and watch it, it's gonna be a different kind of ridiculous. I think it might be even better. So that's a choice for you. So thanks. Let's move on to spoilers. Okay, welcome to spoilers. If you still wanna play this for yourself, hit stop, come back after you play this game. I am so amused by anything happening in this game. I'm gonna attempt to tell you a very short version of this story.
Are you gonna manage?
And please give me the red cards and feel free to cut in at any point.
Are you sure you don't want me to sum up the
story? No, I need to do this so all I can right. Put my mind at peace. And I'd like to talk about some of the player sequences that you can play and how amazing they are.
Okay.
So this game starts like a murder story. You are a guy who's possessed and you murder somebody in a bathroom stall and the police comes and investigates. Okay. You escape, police is chasing you, okay. And you get all these like visions and you start to find out that you have like premonitions of the future.
Mm-hmm.
And then the police come to visit you in your job. And this is the point of the game that's about, I'd say like 30 minutes or 1 hour in.
No idea.
It's pretty soon. And at this point, you will know if you want to be playing this game or not.
You're right, it does start off pretty tame and then yeah, you get here and you're like, oh.
It looks like a serious like murder story, everybody's like serious, you're investigating, and then shit goes down hard and it's wonderful. And I loved it. This is the point I saw before I played this game and I knew I wanted to play this game at one point in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is that you have like this premonition that bad things are gonna happen. But you're in this open space, like area office, or actually there are cubicles. And you are walking to a cubicle and you have to like restart a server or something. The character works as a security, something IT, something, something.
Mm-hmm.
So you're walking to this cubicle to reset the server and you see a small like bug thing, like a mite.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a photo negative colored.
Yeah.
It's like crawling on the table. And you're like, what is this? And then... So Chen thought it's a flea, then we found out it's a mite, it's like a giant mite. And then you turn around and the mite is larger than like 5 people walking in between the cubicles at work.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what? And then shit, like hell breaks loose and you start doing this Simon Says, so you have to follow the arrows. And he's like, oh my god, I'm running away. And the mites are like grabbing him and then he's like jumping and then he like escapes and it's like... Okay, that's been, and then more come, and then they jump from the ceiling, and they start like giving him like a triangle choke. The mice.
Trying to suck.
So one of the mites like comes up from behind him, and he like puts his like mandibles or like the arms, like the legs, like over his neck, and he starts like choking him, and you start like pushing these Simon's arrows, and you're like elbowing him in the face. And you're like, okay, so that was insane, and this is like even more insane. Surely it will not go on much further. And then you're like, okay, more mites. And then you like throw this mite away, and then you jump over this cubicle. And then the mites like surround you, and you're like, okay, I'm gonna jump over this wall and jump across them and hang on this like light on the floor. And then you like run over, and then the mites are eating somebody, and you like kick them in the face, and it keeps going, and it keeps going, and it keeps going.
It's like, if you were maybe imagining the Matrix, like when they're coming for Neo at the office, but yep. if like Neo was tripping on acid at the time. And that's what's happening in this scene.
And why is this all happening, you might say? The prophet, Aztec Mayan god from another dimension, is trying to kill this person, which we will talk about later.
But why with mites?
Because there's been some heavy foreshadowing. If you noticed in the tutorial, the mite was there. Like a plush mite or something on the wall.
What the hell is this guy's obsession with mites?
Because it's like genius David Cage logic. That's why. So this scene happens and...
Wait, yeah. Was he trying to do a clever pun? Like, they might get him. They might... He might go insane. He might be crazy. You might like this game. I get it now.
Okay.
I get it.
So after this point, you can be sure if you want to play this game or not. There's much more of this and much better and so much more action to be seen. And it's wonderful. So yeah. I'm definitely in the team. This is wonderful. So if you didn't like this scene, just stop playing now.
That's good advice.
So what is his name? Lucas.
Oh, yeah. Wait, first, can I say about Lucas is that I fucking hate that every scene with him, anytime he wakes up, anytime he's in his fucking apartment, his windows are always open. This dude never closes, and then he'll be like, it's cold. Close your windows!
Which you can do in the game.
Yes, but why were they open?
Because you can use it in the game, that's why they open them. So you can have some interaction.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's okay. I hate the windows.
So Lucas is the main character, the murderer, and Carla and Tyler are the policemen. Lucas's girlfriend left him a long time ago, and then after he's battled giant mites, cut up his arms and ran through the city and the police is chasing him, she comes over just because.
Yeah.
And you can woo her.
Yeah.
Into having sex.
She didn't come just because. She did call and she wanted to pick up some box.
Oh, yeah, that's
that
right.
Was in the apartment. So, like she left a year ago.
This scene is absolutely unnecessary.
Yeah.
And to woo her successfully, you have to like play the guitar correctly for a very long time with the Simon Says bullshit. You have to like serve her wine and they do the right responses. And if you do all this correctly, you can like move your joysticks.
Yeah.
And, yep.
But we didn't know about this. We found out about this later. We just told the bitch to get out.
Yeah, she came.
She's like, do you want to talk about something? No.
That's exactly what we did.
We sent her away.
She was like, so can I come in? And I was like, no, just get your shit and out. And the scene ended immediately. Yeah. Which is kind of nice that you can do in this game. You can just do whatever you like. And you can end and skip scenes and stuff. So that's a thing you shouldn't miss if you want to do your best at wooing somebody.
Yeah, we did that wrong.
So then another one of my favorite moments in this game happens. The Aztec Mayan god who's trying to kill this main character. So he couldn't kill him with giant mites. So what is he going to do? So imagine the Senator Palpatine from Star Wars.
But if he were like 40 years younger.
And he's like, I threw the whole apartment at him. So this scene, he's the main character, like, I'm feeling something strange, a disturbance in the force, I think. And he like stands in the center of his flat, of his apartment, doesn't move. And then strong wind starts blowing at him. Where from? God knows.
The window that's fucking open.
Actually, yeah, that's right. The window's open. Okay, so that kind of makes sense. And then shit starts flying at you. And you have to, like, with the arrows, evade it.
Yeah.
And it starts normal. It's like a fork flies at you, a knife, a box.
Is it normal, though?
And then, and then like, a table flies at you. And the column of the apartment flies at you. And the fridge flies at you. And the table flies at you. And the chair flies at you. And the cupboard flies at you.
Wait, but the best part is, okay, like Philip just said, you don't move. You're in the center, right? But tell me why. So a bunch of shit's flying at you. I can understand the first time. You're just focusing on what shit's gonna fly next. Tell me why he just turns 90 degrees and readies himself for the other shit to fly at him.
So imagine this quick time event takes like a minute, right?
It takes longer.
It takes
than
like
that.
20 minutes. And you're like facing the window and shit keeps flying. Like 20 things keep flying. And then you turn a little bit right and shit keeps flying. And you keep a little bit right and shit keeps flying. And then you keep flying.
And then you're like, what the hell is in this apartment? the boxes like that his girlfriend was supposed to pick up or something and fly it at you.
So obviously he could just leave the apartment, but he's been prevented by super forces of invisible winds. So he keeps like, okay, so everything, literally everything in the apartment has been thrown at him. So he starts like crawling to the door to get out, finally. But then like pieces of the reality itself starts flying at him.
Yes.
So the like everything just flies at him, and the reality itself starts breaking apart, and it's like a void breaks open, and the door he opens doesn't go anywhere, and he starts falling, and then reality collapses. And somehow he survives. I don't even know how he survives. Oh yeah, that's right. He wakes up, or actually you switch to a different character, his brother. And that's why I said there are more characters. So you can also play his brother.
Briefly,
and,
yeah.
And his brother comes and you have to save yourself because you were delusional and now you're hanging off of the balcony about to fall down and die. True. So it was all hallucinations and the brother has to get in and save you. Yeah. So you have to get in the apartment and save yourself. So.
But if he had the window shut, no. Wouldn't be in this situation.
So after General Palpatine Aztec version threw the apartment at him, you get more visions of the future and you try to find out what's happening. So you meet your brother who's a priest and he tells you that he knows this old lady who does tarot readings, tarot cards.
Mm-hmm.
So you get in there and she tells you like some bullshit. It's very stereotypical. And
she's even got a stereotypical old lady voice.
And I'm gonna spoil all of this. So while I'm talking, so Agatha is this old lady. She is not who she seems to be. So so have your wildest guess while I'm talking, but I'll tell you at the end. So have your...
But wait, she was who she was, but then she died and then she wasn't who she was supposed to be.
Well, really?
Yeah.
I thought like, she was something else the whole time.
When she was the ghost later that wasn't a ghost, that was the thing that took her place.
Still true. She's not a ghost. So
at the time, this year.
Okay, so she's real. This character is going to become something. Try to have the most ridiculous guess what she's going to become. And I'll tell you in a bit, but just try to imagine the wildest guess and let's see if you can get something more ridiculous than what's actually going
to
happen.
Truly try to be wild because even the thing that she becomes is not explained. So you can get as creative as you like.
It's insane.
It's explained for like 2 seconds.
So she's like a blind lady on a wheelchair, very old, and she has like crows. And she keeps telling you about prophecies and then she dies and the police blames you for killing her and it's just like nonsense.
Yeah. That's when she starts like talking to you in her dead state, but that's not her. That's the thing that she becomes.
So then you get like more visions and I don't really sure how, but somehow you get unconscious. You fall somewhere, I'm not sure, it doesn't matter. But you get transported into Mayan land. I don't know, Mayan, Aztec, I'm not really sure which one it was. I think Mayan.
I have no idea.
And suddenly you wake up at a Mayan like fireplace, not fireplace, camp fireplace. And this Mayan like stereotypical, imagine like the like most stupidest looking stereotypical guy Mayan costume comes up. And he's like, "You are the chosen indigo child. You should have been killed a long time ago. Try to run away from this puma." And you start like running and the puma chases you.
Yeah.
And that's the most amazing animation.
That time the animators did fail us. They did not fail us on the other stuff because that was real people that was doing stuff. But like the puma, that was all y'all, so that was bad.
Imagine like a polygonal, like very low poly black tiger that jumps like a frog
and it's slowly and, very slowly and stiffly. Yeah,
and if you don't do your Simon Says like follow the arrows quickly enough, it's gonna eat you alive. Amazing, loved it. So in case you're wondering what this is all about, so in the olden days the oracle chose like a victim to possess and kill another victim to see through the mouth of a two-headed snake into another dimension. that's the story here.
Yeah.
So you're the person who's been possessed by the Aztec Mayan oracle. And after you've done their bidding and killed the victim to sacrifice to open this door to another dimension, you should just be executed or killed, or you just die. Yeah, you should kill yourself. But not Lucas. Lucas is the chosen one. So he didn't kill himself. Moreover, he got the Force.
Yeah, but what did they call it? I was going to say the juice. What was it that they...
Yeah, that's
what
something
did he have?
I'm going to say. I didn't write that down. But you're right, they call it something. In Spaceballs, they call it the Schwartz. So, in Star Wars, it's the Force.
Then in, what was it? The Last Dragon, it's the Glow. He's got something.
He's got something, which means he can fly, he can backflip, he can shoot lasers, he can do a lot of stuff. But we'll come back to that. But, so he keeps like running away. And conveniently, while he's running away, he stumbles on a TV broadcast at his ex-girlfriend, where he comes to hide, which definitely the police is not going to go there. So of course they go get him there. But conveniently, while he's waiting for her to get home, the TV switches on its own, I think. And there's like a museum. And the guy in the museum says, "This Aztec, like... oracles, they have been murdering victims for millennia, and we have a new exposition exactly what this is going about." Very convenient.
He's like, "I gotta go there."
So the first two parts of this game, like the first two thirds, are very well like developed and planned and acted and stretched out. And the last third of this game is completely just messed up, jumbled up, and everything. The story should have been, I think, like 5 times longer.
I think it's like the last half of this game.
It feels like it because so much happened. But it's actually, we just finished it like 2 hours, I think, the last 2 hours.
Dang.
They crammed in so much plot, and I think that made this game so much better. Because if they planned it well and did the game as long as they should have made it, it wouldn't be so much fun, because this escalates so hard, and you cannot like expect it's gonna escalate even more, and it does escalate like 700 times more than you expect it to escalate. And that's why this game is the best game. I think this is a fortunate circumstance that unfortunately they didn't have the money, but fortunately they made the best decision to just cram the shit into a short time. So while he sees this like news like report about the museum, he decides to go there, of course. And then the police catch him. And this is another scene where Chen laughed so hard we had to stop. And she had to go to the bathroom. I'm so sad we didn't record that. So would you mind telling us what happened, Chen?
Are you talking about...
Yes.
So, T's outside, whatever...
So he walks out of the building for his ex-girlfriend. Building.
Yeah. And the police are waiting for him. And they got, like, their guns out, whatever, pointing at him. And they tell him to, like, turn around, of course. Like, you know, so they can arrest him. He turns away from them. And then he suddenly, like, jumps up and, like, runs, like, 2 steps up the door and does this big backflip, like, over the police officer. But he didn't even get a running. He just jumped. He just insta-jumped.
Insta-jumped at the door of the building and then off of the door, insta-backflipped, like,
right,
behind the policeman.
Right. Which, I was dying because I was like, no, this cannot be. But... later, when we watched, this was actually one of the motion captures, and somehow this guy had managed, he did it. But in real life, it just looked very sudden. In the game, everything is still a little bit slowed down, so it just looked absolutely ridiculous and impossible. So he like jumps over him, and he's like doing all these like martial arts like moves, but then one of the police officers also knows like martial arts.
So the backflip is amazing, and then he like Muay Thai low kicks one cop so hard he like flips and hits his head on the floor.
Yeah.
The other one, he like backfists, like he flies away and hits a car, and he's got like superpower suddenly. And then you got the same thing happens all the time in this game. You keep doing this Simon Says bullshit, and this action scene escalates. And first the flip, and you have to do it, and then the fight plays, and you do it. And you start running, and you do it, and then you have to jump around like crashing cars, and you have to do this thing, and then helicopters fly in, and you have to jump.
Doesn't it like angels one time?
That's another thing. We'll get to that. We'll get to the angels. Okay. So then all these. Like cars start crashing, and then you jump on the roof of the cars, and then helicopters fly in, and you jump and you catch the helicopter, and you swing across the helicopter, and it just keeps going more and more, and the helicopter explodes, and people start shooting, and then you're like running away, and like pedestrians start falling and screaming, and then you jump on this like truck, and the truck starts going somewhere, and more police like helicopters, and it just keeps going more and more, and then he jumps on a train and just leaves on the top of a train.
Yeah.
And the policemen are like, "What the fuck?" And this is also very, very, very enjoyable about this game. The facial expressions, I love them so much. They have like these close-ups on the like surprises and intense stares of all these characters, and they are all amazing.
There's something to see.
So there's a bunch of shit that goes down. I don't want to go into all of it. One of them is an angel fight, Jen mentioned.
Yeah. I mean, it was just that it was random.
Yeah, so it just like... you go into this church and angels fight you for reasons. And then we get into this super condensed like end story, which starts with saving an indigo child, which is a random orphan in a random orphanage. And you get him because she is the answer to the question of what's the meaning of life. And if you possess her, you will get all the powers of the universe. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
But she's got like all the stuff. Like she's a big source of stuff, and they need to put her into the stuff so that she...
Yeah, so there's like a portal which like harvests her energies or something. I don't know what that does. And they dump her in this portal and they suck out her energies. And different people want to get on this action. One of them is Lucas, which doesn't make any sense really, but he just...
I think he just wants to do it so they don't...
I think he doesn't really want to do it, but he ends up doing it if you do like the good ending of the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then there is the Aztecs who plan to do it in the first place. That's why this whole thing started.
Yeah.
And then there is Agatha, which we talked about.
But it's not Agatha.
It is not Agatha. So keep thinking about who that is. I'll tell you at the end. And then... So we get into my like best part of this game. This is why I love this game so much. This scene, this is like the best scene. It starts...
Starts with a nun.
Yes.
Okay.
So what happens?
Okay, so Lucas goes to get this indigo child. Straight up decides he's gonna go kidnap an orphan. Okay. Anyway, he goes to this orphanage. And he walks in. I think he asks a question, but then he just keeps going. Like, he asks something about the orphanage and the... There's a nun there, and she's tells him something, and then he just starts to walk past her, and she's like, "You can't go in there," and you go in there, bitch doesn't do nothing. She doesn't move. You don't see her. You can stand there. She doesn't come. You straight up get in there, check all the rooms with these girls that are alone, and you're like, yeah, this isn't the indigo child. You're hovering over them, in fact, so that you can check if that's the one. And then you finally get to the child and you pick her up. You're stealing her. The nun is nowhere to be found. She just said you can't go in there. But that's not even it. I thought maybe she's calling the police and there would be like some timer that pops up and whatever. No, because what is it? Aztec, Mayan, whatever dude, he comes in there and waltzes past the nun and she says the same thing. You can't go in there. And he, what does he do? He just goes in there. She doesn't do nothing. Nothing. In fact, there's a whole scene that happens where you're trying to escape the guy because you're all in this hallway that you're not supposed to be in. And you all go back out where the nun is. Don't they go through the nun again?
No, they take a different door.
Okay.
I think it's like a back exit.
The point is, no police were called. She didn't even attempt to step into the hallway that you went into, that you weren't supposed to go into. What? So I'm already mad about this. So you already know the scene's about to get ridiculous when this has happened. So
I wasn't fazed by this because more important stuff was happening. But yeah, it's ridiculous. So this oracle guy who possessed him also got the force, superpower, glow, something. And at this point, Lucas already fought the oracle before. And he's like full-on superpowered force glow guy now. He's like beyond Matrix, beyond Neo, beyond like all these guys. This is the second time they fight. And the first time they fought, the oracle killed Lucas. And when Lucas woke up, Agatha told him that they saved him somehow.
Yeah.
And now Lucas is reanimated and dead. And yeah. People keep telling him that he's cold and he's like invincible.
Yeah. So but he had sex with
That happened later. That happened later. Okay. Not yet.
Okay.
So at the same time, the police keeps like following him, and there's Taylor and Carla, and then he fucks Carla.
It's Tyler.
Tyler and Carla. Yeah. Carla is like a super stressed out, like proper, responsible, reliable policewoman, and she has like panic attacks, and you have to like control her breathing so she doesn't panic, which is like a fun sequence.
Yeah.
And then she just has sex with him out of nowhere because he's a superhero now. Yeah. That's how much this story got condensed.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
But anyways, they get into a fight. And this,
him and the Mayan guy or the
Aztec guy. Yeah. And this is the best fight, I dare to say, I have ever seen in any video game. Amusement, entertainment levels. Even now, we just rewatched it, and it still holds up. This is so bad.
Jen sighed. Those are my size.
Jen sighed so hard, it completely blew out the microphone. I'm loving this so much. So I have to tell you like step by step what happened in this fight, so you can imagine. And if you're not gonna play this game, please look up this fight. Just search like Lucas fights the Oracle second time or something like that.
But the thing is, you can't even imagine. You're gonna go step by step. You are. I know you're gonna get into the details, and that's fine. It's so ridiculous, you can't fathom.
Yes.
It has to be seen.
Even when I completely step-by-step tell you what happened, you will not be spoiled.
Yeah, you won't know.
You are not ready. And now imagine that imagine that on top of everything I'm going to be saying, you are constantly doing this, Simon says, like, follow the arrows and do the quick time event constantly. Yeah. And it keeps escalating.
Yeah.
And I failed this, I think, twice, because I was so, like, laughing about this. And I enjoyed it thoroughly. I'm not going to lie, I'm happy I failed it so I could watch it again. So it starts on the roof of a building, like a tall building. And he puts
it's
down
the orphanage, child. Which the orphanage nun did not do anything.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, but doesn't matter. It's like a tall building in the city. Immediately, both Lucas and the Oracle, they both jump up and start flying. Imagine the end of Matrix 3 when then Agent Smith and Neo fly up and they start punching themselves in the air. And they like fly all over the place, punch themselves around. And like, oh, this is already ridiculous. And they do like backflips and he like kicks him and he evades with this like head.
But are they punching each other or is it a slap fight?
No, that's later. Now they like properly, it looks like they're actually fighting.
Sort of.
And then like Lucas evades and he like winds up and like crashes into a wall and the bricks fly away and explode. And then there's like a pole, like an antenna. And the Oracle like suddenly hangs upside down on the antenna and they keep like fighting. And one of them is upside down and it's like, he's like a bat like hanging down and punching him. I'm like, fuck. Already, why did they like jump on this pole and like did like gymnastic flips to get on top of it when they can fly? Nobody knows.
Mm-mm.
But then, you know that all the ridiculous moves have happened. Nope. Lucas decides to literally run up the vertically pole, which is perpendicular to the roof. So there's a scene where this like Oracle guy keeps like hanging like a bat, and he like flips out or something, and then Lucas runs to this pole, and he like runs up the pole like vertically up, and then they start flying again, and he winds up again, and something crashes, bricks explode.
But when he says runs up the pole, he means like run, not like scurries up, not like parkours up. He's 90 degrees. Running up this slippery pole in the snow in winter.
Okay, so then they decide that that's enough bullshit. They start flying again. They crash into each other and this pole breaks off. So the Oracle grabs the pole and starts whacking the pole on Lucas. Lucas evades and everything explodes, flying bricks everywhere. And then, okay, pole is boring now. So backflips away. And the Oracle starts doing like Mortal Kombat Sub-Zero like Hadouken moves. So he's like winding up.
Was a few things. One.
And that's what it looked like. And he like gathers this energy, like you should describe what I'm doing.
Philip is making like whirlpools with his hands. Yep. It looks like he's doing like Tai Chi, but like sped up and badly.
Yes, exactly what happens. And he gathers the bricks from the floor. They levitate and he starts shooting them at Lucas, like propelling them forwards, and they fly at Lucas. What does Lucas do? He engages into a proper Muay Thai or kickboxing stance.
Of course.
And punches the bricks.
Of course. What else would any reasonable person do?
So you keep pressing these buttons and then you punch the bricks, and if you miss the button, the brick hits you in the face, and it's so intense. So then the Oracle decides, okay, bricks are boring, so I'm gonna become invisible. So he literally becomes invisible, and he also teleports, or maybe he just runs around, but it's pretty fast. I think he teleports. Mm-hmm. And he like appears behind Lucas, and Lucas like blocks it Matrix style, and then he blocks it, and then he blocks. It's like,
but one of those blocks looks like, if you imagine like if you're sitting, like just sit down, everyone do this as I'm describing this to you. Sit down. And just, you know, sit down, your back up against the chair, whatever, feet on the floor, forward, legs a little bit apart, and you can put your hands wherever you like. Mm-hmm. I'll take your left leg, or right, doesn't matter, but I'm going to do my left. Lift it just a little, like just get on your tiptoe with your foot, okay? Mm-hmm. Your left leg. And then just spread your legs, but don't spread them, just pretend you're spreading your legs, but don't move the right one. Just move the left one out. That's the move that Lucas does to block one of the attacks. He appears and he does this little like side up leg thrust that doesn't really do anything.
Just moves slightly to the side, yeah. And that's how we block it.
Yeah.
That's how we block a deadly attack from an assassin from another dimension who's invisible, teleports and flies.
Yep.
That's how good Lucas is. So then they all find out that this is not gonna work out, so change of pace. So they fly out again and jump at each other and start punching each other in the air. But this time, it's another, like, it escalated and became even more ridiculous that you wouldn't think. They just, like, lie next to, imagine two people lying on the floor, facing each other, like, on the side. And then they just, like, slap each other, like, kindergarten children style. They're just, like, slapping each other, like, pretending to fight. They're not fighting. They're just, like, slapping each other's hands, like, pretending. And at the same time, they're in the air and rotating around. And they're just, like, slapping
each other. Sideways, like you said. Sideways.
So there's a slap fight.
And that was the part that I thought was just bad animation. I thought that the animators were just like gave up and were lazy. But
did they?
Not the one where they're on the side, yeah. But they did the ones when they were standing up. The first one, which is also slapping.
The first one doesn't look like slapping much.
It looks like terrible choreography.
It is bad.
Slapping. So
but it's not like, okay.
It was definitely real people in both.
Second time, scenes. The animator didn't give any shits, and he just slapped each other, and they didn't even touch each other most of the time. It was like just rotating around. So I would explain it from the point of view of the master of gaming, genius David Cage. Their force chi superpower glow, it's so powerful that when they start moving the hand, it's already pressing against each other. At this time, they're so excited and exaggerated and so powered up and buffed up that even the slightest movement of your hand is already repelling the other's hand. And before you punch, they already... Okay. So this goes on for a while, and then the Oracle throws Lucas into some shit, and something falls. It's like a big water tank. And even though they kept crashing into bricks, this water tank like falls on the Oracle. Mm-hmm. And helicopters show up. Police helicopters show up. Mm-hmm. And the Oracle jumps up and he starts doing the Tai Chi whirlwind moves again. And it looks like he's controlling the helicopters or some bullshit.
I guess. It looks like it. I don't know what he's doing.
I don't know what he's doing. And I forgot to mention, in between this fight, they do close-ups of Oracle's and Lucas's faces doing the most intense like death stares.
You might want to replay it a few times, because depending on if you fail at certain parts, you'll see different or succeed different faces at different times.
So you're like playing this and like super focused, and you're trying not to mess up this quick time event Simon says, like doing the arrows, and then you mess up, and then there's like a face of Lucas doing the most ridiculous like and
the best faces, because he's like super shocked, like if you like succeed at stuff,
and then you're like trying to focus, and then this shit shows up on the screen, and you're like and you fail the game. This is so good. This is genius game design.
So try your best to like rack up some lives, or just, you know, try your best.
Yeah, you have lives on this game, and you can like repeat some of the parts of the fight, so you can keep going, and it shows you the failure, like partial failure of the fight. But the helicopters show up, the police, like, I think 4 helicopters, police helicopters.
Something like that.
A lot of helicopters. And he grabs, so Lucas grabs the Indigo child and runs away. And how does he run away? He starts running, and first he jumps across to another building. Okay. Then he has to do more. So he jumps across and over the helicopter, around on top of the helicopter, and to the next building. Okay.
Yeah.
So then he keeps running, and they keep chasing him. So he jumps off a building, and there is no other building to jump to. So you're like, why? Is he going to jump to his death? No, he gravitates and gets stuck on the side of the building 90 degrees. Like, and he starts running, like sprinting on the side of the building.
But is he sprinting or lightly jogging?
Maybe. So he's holding a child, running like perpendicularly to the side of a building while police helicopters are chasing him, the Oracle's doing Tai Chi moves behind him, and he's running. And now he's fucked surely. So what is he gonna do? He's just gonna teleport away. Mm-hmm. So he just disappears. So that's the most cleverest move. You could argue that maybe he discovered this ability later in the fight. He couldn't have this teleported away earlier. Whatever. But okay, let's assume he can teleport. Where does he teleport?
Good question. Where would you teleport if you were being chased in the vicinity?
So he's
in the vicinity?
So he teleports, like he's running at the side of the building, and he literally teleports in the same building behind the same window he's standing on. Just inside. Just like around the corner, literally inside the building, behind the window. And he like leans on the wall and looks out of the window as the helicopters fly by and the Oracle leaves. The Oracle leaves. And he's like, okay, I'm saved. I teleported out of sight, so I'm fine. Amazing.
That scene made the game worth it.
This escalated to 7,000 from 1. It was like, and this took so long. Like, you keep doing this quick time events. It's great.
That was a really long scene.
This scene was exhausting, tense, stressful, hilarious, funny. All the emotions you could imagine that happened in the scene. And I enjoyed it so much. So after he escapes, finally I'm going to reveal who Agatha is. So if you have any good...
Spirit of Agatha.
Okay, spirit of... I don't
Agatha think... was fine, and she died, and someone pretended to be her spirit.
But she already, like, at the beginning was having some, like, afterlife communication somewhere, and then she kept showing up in his dreams, even though she hasn't died yet, and then the same thing appeared. I think it was the same thing.
But she had already, like, died. She didn't show up in his dreams until after he'd met her, and then he went back, and she was dead.
Okay, so maybe. Maybe.
I think it's the spirit, the fake spirit of Agatha is this thing. But it could be that Agatha was this thing all along.
So if you are still listening and had a good idea, send us an email at mindduckjapan@gmail.com. What do you think Agatha is? The most ridiculous idea. And now the reveal.
Yeah, wait, give a pause. So that means, like, stop right now, send your email, then finish. And now we're finishing. Okay, who?
She is a other dimensional cloud-based artificial intelligence that controls a light-based robot that operates in ghost form from both the afterlife and the other dimension from the Aztecs. And they are, like, using all this technology to have an artificial superintelligence that manifests as a light robot.
Yeah,
that pretended it's a dead lady in a wheelchair that's blind.
Simple.
Yep.
Simple, simple.
So this robot looks like a yellow light version of a Gundam or something. Not Gundam.
Sort of.
Like a robot.
Just a robot, yeah.
Action robot, Japan, yeah, something.
Something.
So everything escalates. And suddenly the plot gets compressed. So suddenly the world is ending. Everything's freezing. And they announce in the news, that's why the game is called Fahrenheit, because everything's freezing. That didn't come up until now. And there is like a bunch of hobos that crawl out of the manhole covers. And they're like, okay, we have the like last stand of humanity or some bullshit. Mm-hmm. And they go into this like underground like base camp of survivors where there are like 5 people.
Yeah.
Immediately, Lucas and Carla have sex.
But this was even before then they'd had sex. Then they have sex again. Yeah.
And they are like, okay, we have the Indigo Child, and there is this portal device which will give us all the powers, and we have to go there to fight the Oracle again, and the robot's gonna be there too, so let's just get it over with, let's just go there and do it. So I'm not gonna stretch this up any longer. They fight the Oracle the third time, which is just shooting power lasers, not as much fun at all as you'd think it would be. Very short, they run out of budget.
But there's different ways to do this fight.
Hmm.
So it depends on how many times you fail and other stuff. So it's interesting, so I guess.
It's kind of, it's not like underwhelming. It's just like you already hyped up so hard from the previous fight that nothing can compare. And then you kill the robot too with some bullshit. So this is how the game ends. Either the robot kills all of you, and then there's the robot ending, and then and the Oracle kills all of you, and you can even give the child up to somebody. There's like a scene where you can, before you find out Agatha is the robot, you can give her the child, and this is how the game ends.
Yeah.
Or you can just give the child to the Oracle, and he like does his thing. Or you kill both, and then Lucas puts the child in the thing, which I don't even know what he did. Like, why would he sacrifice the child? I don't know.
That's how you get the answer. You give her. She's gonna die anyway.
She's gonna die anyway. I didn't know
she's
that.
She's weak.
Okay. For some reason, she's dying. Yeah. Maybe they didn't feed her and they let her in the cold while they have her fighting for 7 hours.
Well,
and
I mean, that nun. She's obviously not taking care of the girls.
Anyway, game ends. Cut to post-credit scene where Carla, the policewoman, and Lucas are sitting on a beautiful sunny day meadow.
That's good ending.
That's the good ending, yeah.
That's good ending, yeah.
And Lucas is like, I'm God now, I'm better than Jesus, and I can do anything literally, and this world is mine. And Carla kisses him, and that's the end.
But we should rewind. We did forget about just mentioning, like, at some parts of this game, you have, like, Lucas, like, flashbacks with him and his brother, and you're, and you do really stupid, annoying tasks. And
they're showing that he had this superpower premonition skill even as a child.
Yeah, so
you have to sneak into some places with these children friends. Worst part of the game.
Yeah, it's
very tedious. Yeah. If you're playing this, just cheat code the shit out of this and skip this scene. It's like 2 or 3. Every time there is a children scene, just skip it. There's nothing to be gained from those scenes. That's the only weak part of this game. Okay, so I feel like I've relived my excitement. I got it out of my system. So anything you'd like to say to people who are still listening?
After you play, like the expressions of the characters, you should look up the memes about Tyler after you play, like his facial expression.
Yeah,
there's a lot of crazy stuff.
There's a bunch of memes. This game is prime time goofiness, meme, super nonsensical material. I definitely recommend this. Would you recommend this?
I mean, I mean, it's an experience, but you know, you're not missing out in life. You don't have to worry about FOMO. Like, it's okay. Oh, but we should also have mentioned that for whatever reason, I don't know why, everyone freaking speaks like a Power Ranger on here. Like, their hand motions and head motions are way over the top. Like, hands that's flying true, everywhere, right, heads flipping all over the place. Like, I don't know who thought that was a good idea, but...
They're like a jank polygon game character overacting motions.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. I feel like they didn't have the facial controls, so they tried to express the feelings with the body instead of the face. That's my explanation.
So, just a random tidbit. But yeah, it's okay. There's no FOMO. But if you want to play, you can.
In my eyes, this is like when I was in high school, I think, or elementary school, Diablo 2 came out, and there were like this amazing cinematics, and people kept saying, like, if you haven't seen, like, Tyrell, find Diablo, fight Diablo, and fight Mephistopheles, or whatever his name is, Mephisto, you haven't lived if you haven't seen that. So now, years later, if you haven't seen Oracle fight Lucas, you haven't lived.
It was pretty great, that
if
that
you, bit. If anything, just watch this fight. And thanks.
I was just gonna say, yeah, this fight is on YouTube. If you don't want to play at all,
yeah,
go ahead and watch it there.
We just found the whole game is like 5-hour movie on YouTube. Somebody beat it really fast. So if you just want to do that, it's still amusing. And I'm still, there is a bajillion YouTubers doing let's plays of this. But yeah, that's about this episode. Let us know what you think about this new kind of format. That how long is it, Jen? How long is this episode after I edited it?
I mean, we're less than an hour, so this might actually be like 30 minutes.
Which Jen got too excited and got really into the discussion, and little does she know, this is the second file we started saving.
Oh, no, I forgot. So, I don't know.
It's already 2 hours.
Dang.
No, it's not 2 hours, but I think it's gonna be about an hour again.
Dang.
So that's what you get for short episodes. Very brief. How many red cards did I get?
You got 2.
Okay. So that basically means I'm out.
Stayed on topic. But yeah. It was fine.
So thanks a lot for watching. Let us know on minddeckjapan@gmail.com if you played this. And how much you regretted playing this after listening to us. episode 2 or whichever other MindDuck games is gonna come out whenever we feel like it. There's no plan. It's gonna be some insane game again. So thanks for listening. And thank you, Chen, for bearing with me on this episode.
It was fun.